Thank you. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's nice to be with you once again. That reading in Matthew chapter 6, it starts with Jesus talking about charitable deeds. He then talks a bit about prayer and fasting before moving on to discuss treasure. It's perhaps not immediately obvious, but there appears to be a theme running through these verses in Matthew chapter 6. The theme of what we do with what we have been given seems to link the different sections of Matthew 6. It's quite obvious, I think, that both charitable deeds and treasure have a link with this theme. But how does prayer and fasting relate to what we do with what we have been given? A quick look at Isaiah 58 shows that, as far as God is concerned, true fasting is certainly linked to giving. In Isaiah 58, God declares that fasting is to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the destitute to your house, and to provide covering for the naked. So the true fast is directly linked to what we do with what we have been given. And I think prayer, likewise, has a link to that theme of what we do with what we have been given. In the example prayer in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus points out, or he makes the point, that we should pray for our debts to be forgiven as we forgive the debts of others. And the word debt means that which is owed, whether in money or goods, but it can also carry the sense of that which is owed morally. And given that Jesus goes on to quantify that the forgiveness of our trespasses is conditional on our willingness to forgive, it's clear, I think, that Jesus is using debt in this latter sense of our moral obligation. Either way, it fits nicely with the charitable deeds before it and the laying up of treasure after it. I suspect that when Jesus says we should pray that we are not led into temptation, it is in specific reference to the theme which is running through this section of his discourse. The temptation we often face is, are we going to be selfless and give as we have received, or are we going to be selfish and be miserly with what we have received? As Jesus goes on to say in verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. Yet, brothers and sisters, it can be so easy to justify keeping something back. That was the temptation which Ananias and Sapphira faced when they made a show of giving, but it actually held some back. But it can be a temptation the other way around as well, can't it? To sit back and just expect others to provide. And that seemed to be a particular issue for some in the church at Thessalonica. And Paul had to admonish them, saying that if they weren't willing to work, then they should not be fed. And there's a proverb, it's a proverb of Agur, which is recorded in Proverbs chapter 30, which kind of sums up that temptation which we might face. Because Agur says, give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Agur's saying there, I think, that either situation can tempt us. If we're seeking too much, wanting more, or if we can't be bothered and want others to provide. Either way, it's a temptation, isn't it, to do the wrong thing. and either of those situations can tempt us. But from 1 Timothy chapter 6, I suspect the bigger temptation, the bigger issue, is that both rich and poor can suffer from the desire for wanting more. Paul states in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In verse 8 of that same chapter, Paul tells us that the antidote to greed, the antidote to wanting more and more, is to be content with having food and clothing. And I found out quite recently that the word for clothing apparently means covering. So it's not just literal clothing, it's having that protection, I guess, from the elements. So having food, being able to keep myself warm in a day like today, is enough to be content with. And in chapter 4 of his epistle, James also warns against the temptations which come from wanting more. He tells his audience that their obsession with wanting was the cause of wars, fights, and murder. So, like Paul, James makes the point that the lust for more is the problem. Earlier in his first chapter, James highlights that our desires are the beginning of the temptation problem. But James also says in his first chapter that God doesn't tempt anyone. And this seems to contradict what Jesus had said in that model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, because Jesus tells us to actually ask God not to lead us into temptation. So it's almost like Jesus is implying that God may indeed put temptation in our way. So which is it? Does God tempt us or not? Is Jesus right or is James right? And I think the answer to the question maybe comes from Jesus' own temptations, because he was tempted in all points like we are, but without sin. And we've read recently, haven't we, of that temptation that Jesus went through in Matthew chapter 4. Immediately prior to temptation in the wilderness, we're told that Jesus received the Spirit of God. And we're told it is the same Spirit of God which led Jesus to be tempted. And the temptation that Jesus faced is common. It's a common temptation, which I think we all face in some way, shape or form. What would Jesus do with what he had been given? Jesus chose to use the God-given way out of the temptation by remembering what God had said. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. God's Spirit of grace has been poured out on us. And immediately after we accept this grace, we are repeatedly tempted. We've been given so much. What are we going to do with that gift of grace? It's worth, isn't it, I think, to always seek God's wisdom so that we will find our way of escape when we're tempted. That's what Jesus did, and it's what James exhorts us to do. I think James does understand that God will put temptations in our path, but he also knows that the trials and temptations we face are designed to help our faith produce patience. And so James exhorts that if we lack wisdom in the face of our trials, then ask God and we will be helped. What do we do with what we... Sorry, I did a little extra here, and I better read it myself. I've handed out sort of a copy in Persian, so I'm going to put that bit in. I've had an interesting period recently with a brother in Christ, which, you know, created some difficulties for me. And I realised that whilst I was trying to follow some of what Jesus taught, I was missing out on other bits of what Jesus tells us. So, in trying to sort out this issue, I thought, as Matthew chapter 5 tells us, and we read yesterday, that we should try and sort out the problem that I was having one-to-one, you know, before meeting and worshipping. If there was an issue, I should try and get that issue resolved. And that's what I attempted to do. But the brother in question refused to meet. So after getting over the initial anger and frustration of that situation, what I realised was that this refusal actually gave me the opportunity to consider other things which Jesus said that we should do when we have difficulties with other people. And some of those things that Jesus mentions are in Matthew chapter 4-5, as we read yesterday. Things like verse 44, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. And I had the opportunity to read these words, to think about these words, and to realise that in my haste to have a meeting with my brother and have it out with him, I was really being tempted, I think, to judge my brother and to condemn my brother. But I was given this way out of being able to look at other things that Jesus gives as guidance, and to realise that I needed to deal with my own issues and go the extra mile. So it's useful to think about our situations, isn't it? Our difficulties and our experiences, and maybe to take a little bit more time to seek God's wisdom so that we can truly recognise that we can put into practice that idea of using what we have been given to help others. And what we do with what we have been given is an age-old issue for all of God's children. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham was tempted to sacrifice Isaac. What would Abraham do with what he had been given? We know that God provided a way of escape, didn't we? In Genesis, we read of Adam and Eve and how they were tempted. Would they be content with what they had been given? Or would they want more? They messed up, but God still provided a way of escape. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're told that the children of Israel were tempted for 40 years in the wilderness. And I think it's worth reading what God told the Israelites at the end of those 40 years, because it shows how God thinks when it comes to the idea of temptation. And I think it also ties in with the idea of what people do with what they have been given. In this case, the Israelites needed to consider what would they do with the words that God had given them. I'm just going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell in these 40 years. You should know in your heart that the man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. There is clearly a purpose to the trials and temptations that the children of Israel face. And I think there's a purpose to the trials and the tribulations and temptations that we face. That purpose is not to trip us up or to lead us to succumb to temptation. I think we could say, couldn't we, that by asking not to be led into temptation, as Jesus advises us to, is maybe equivalent to saying, help us to remember, just as Jesus did, the way of escape. And we could say that God doesn't tempt anyone is equivalent to saying God never makes our temptations so great that we cannot find a way of escape. We can use what we have been given for God's purposes rather than seek to serve our own desires. Jesus was led to a point of temptation, but he was not enticed. There is ways out for all of us. So the question is, brothers and sisters, we have been given so much. What are we going to do with what we have been given? Will we be tempted to hold back? Or will we remember God's wisdom and remember, as we do now, in this bread and wine, that freely we have received, and so freely we should give. We can give of all sorts of things, can't we? We can give of our God-given money. We can give of our God-given time. We could give of our God-given wisdom. But whatever else we may give, I think we should always strive to give grace. Jesus shared his life that we may have life, and this ultimate God-given gift that we have been given is ours to share.